This morning's scriptural reading will be coming from 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verses 9 through 18. I'll be reading along in the New American Standard Bible translation if you'd like to follow along with a light translation. Please stand in honor of God's holy word. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, and attend to your business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Please be seated. Indulge me for a second or two. Let me look at you. Wow. You know I love you?
I do.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, your scriptures, most holy, may we pay attention to your teaching, that we might walk uprightly, that we might walk rightly, that we might walk according to the calling of Jesus upon our lives. Help us this day to attend and for our hearts to be changed and for our lives to be lived in sanctity to your honor and glory. Praise be unto your holy name, O God. Amen. You know, Brother Steve said something one of the times when he prayed recently. He got up here and said, I've got nothing for you. Remember that? And I said, oh, I bet he does. And he did. What he meant by that is when you come before the people of God with God's word, you depend upon the Holy Spirit to teach his people. Yes, it's plain what the Word of God says, but we depend on the Lord, the Holy Spirit within us, to help us to explain to you those scriptures correctly so that you can grow thereby. And so I do have something for you today, but I don't have something for you today. The Holy Spirit has something for you today. These scriptures follow along in the very heavy teaching from last week, your sanctification, keeping your vessel pure and holy. It was a hard sermon to preach because it's convicting. It comes with power. And then you say, well, all of a sudden he goes back into the love again. Well, guess what? Love is just as important as sanctifying, of living a holy and pure life. Verse 9 says, now as to the love of the brothers and sisters, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Isn't that encouraging that you are God taught? You're God taught. If you know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he teaches you what you need to know. And one of the first things that he teaches you is to love one another. I remember, well, you might remember the first time I ever was in the pulpit. I think it was one of the first times. I mentioned that when Faith Bible Church made its exodus to the Promised Land in Green Run Baptist, that we were loved immediately. There was no hesitation on the part of the already Green Run members to love us. We became Green Run right away because we loved you and you loved us. God taught you to love your brothers and your sisters. You don't need to be taught to love. God teaches you. But Paul continues to teach you to love anyway. And so I will as well. For verse 10 says, indeed, you practice it toward all the brothers and sisters who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, to excel even more. And that's true of every aspect of our lives in Christ. Whatever he has taught us, we need to excel still more with it. If you were convicted last week about sanctification of your bodies, excel still more with it. Whatever level he's taken you, excel even more. Hey, brother. Lord bless you. He loves the preaching. Come on up. Give me some help here. Macedonia was a part of the Greek, nation. Just one big part. First they went to Philippi, Thessalonica, and then Berea, and then moved out of Macedonia. Well, these churches were known throughout that whole area because of their love for one another. That's something that wasn't true of the Greek culture. Everyone thought that they were smarter than everyone else. They were all about education and wisdom. You'll see a lot of times in the scriptures, especially from Paul, talking about wisdom. The Greeks didn't think too much of loving one another. But when they saw the Thessalonica church loving one another, it had a ministry and the gospel spread to that region. We need to be the same way. And I'm going to read two scriptures. I don't normally read cross-references in my pulpit ministry, but I'm going to do it today. John 13, verses 34 and 35. I am giving you a new commandment that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, guess what happens when they don't see you loving one another? They don't see the Lord. They see the Lord in you, not just by your preaching, but by your life. How do you love one another? And how do you present your love towards others? That's very incredibly important. Next verse is 1 John 3, verses 14 through 18. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. But whoever has worldly goods and sees his brother or sister in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him? Little children, let's not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Glory be to God's word. Back to 1 Thessalonians, our next verse, verse 11, shifts just a little bit, but it shows you how to love and make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we instructed you. Oh, boy. The King James, instead of using the word ambition, uses the word study. Now, In that day, they were not saying, make this a scholarly thing, not a student thing. Study then meant ambition, have motivation to further or to excel in such things. And so we need to excel in living a quiet life. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that you don't go out and preach loudly? No, it doesn't mean that. It means don't be boastful. Don't be obnoxious. Have you seen, well, around here we don't see it much anymore, but in the 70s I saw a lot of it where people will go out on street corners with great big signs with bullhorns yelling, you're dying in your sins, you've got to know, you know, I mean, it was quite obnoxious. I kind of liked them at first. I didn't do it, but at first, because I was so zealous, I was a firebrand, I kind of liked it. But then when you listen to what they had to say, it didn't conform to the scriptures of that quiet, peaceful, loving, reverent message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to live lives that are quiet. People don't see us as boisterous, obnoxious, rough people. Study to be a quiet person in your personality. And attend to your own business. In other words, don't be a busybody. You know, anyone hear of gossip? You know what the difference between gossip and caring about your brother or sister and learning about them so you can pray? There's a big difference between them. Learn the difference. We are not to be busybodies going around getting in other people's business. The little bit of that should be caring about others. When you establish a love relationship with someone and they open up to you, that is not being a busybody. That's being a minister. And so that's what you want to have. You want to have as many love relationships with the brethren so that you can have open discussion and care about each other and know how to pray for them. And work with your hands. Now, there's a reason why Paul said these things, because the Thessalonians did have a few problems with these things. As you know, in the early church, they were told that the Lord is coming. And they used the word soon. And so they were, well, that's going to be in my lifetime. All us Christians that are getting saved right now, we are going to see the Lord come out of the air and grab us up. And so they started doing, like in the early 70s, some of us, not me, but I knew of others who said, well, since the Lord is coming and there'll be no more debt anymore, and these credit cards are a kind of new thing, I think I'll go out and buy whatever I want and enjoy whatever I want, because I'm not going to have to pay it back. The Lord's coming. Can you believe they did that? You young people might not have ever heard that, but that was a big thing back in the 70s. Well, same thing in Thessalonica. People quit their jobs and said, well, we got a few, you know, nice rich people in the church, and they give to the church, and they got a benevolence fund, and, well, we're not going to work. We'll just let the church take care of us until the Lord comes. It's going to be soon. It's not going to be any skin off their teeth. Yeah. And so they became lazy and quit working. And what did Paul say? Oh, no, no, no. Go to work. Work with your hands. Do something. You know, white collar workers, they work with their hands. They got pens. They got keyboards. They're working with their hands. They're on phones. It's not working with your hands doesn't mean just being a carpenter or a plumber or a roofer or any of those things. All white collar. Right, Steve, you work with your hands. You're a white collar. He's a hard worker, too. Works for the church as well. With a missing pastor, that dude's filling in a lot of shoes. Supporting the elders greatly. Pray for him. Verse 12, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. So being quiet, minding your own business and working, you will have funds to take care of yourself. No one else has to take care of you. And you will have benevolence funds to help others when you see their need. It's a very practical, important thing. If you love, you're going to work. If you love, you're not going to be a gossip or a busybody. If you love, you're going to lead a quiet, tranquil, spiritual life. Okay? Now we shift gears again. But is just as important to Paul to teach these folks, because being new Christians and with this whole mantra of the Lord is coming soon, and they thinking, well, that means in my lifetime there were issues. People started dying of whatever, maybe some persecution, some through illness, whatever it might be, but people were passing away and being put in the grave, and they were thinking, oh, well, they're out of this now. When the Lord returns, they're not going to be involved. Just us who are alive when he comes are the only ones involved in this. And it was hurting them, because when you lose someone, you care for them very much. And if they're a Christian, you know that they're going to be with the Lord in the future. Well, these people didn't know what to think. They didn't have enough training yet. Well, Paul is supplying it. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as indeed the rest of mankind do who have no hope. Now, sleep. That doesn't mean that your soul is in your body rotting away in the grave, sleeping away. No. When you die, your body goes to the grave, but your spirit or soul goes to be immediately in the presence of our Lord and Savior. They didn't understand that yet. You understand it because you've been reading the Bible for a long time. They didn't. They were being informed. We don't want you to be uninformed. Now they're informed. People who do not know the Lord have no hope. Only doom is a part of their lives. And your commission by the Lord himself is to preach the gospel to every creature. Give them the hope of Jesus Christ. Some will come to know the Lord because the Lord has chosen them. Others will reject the Lord. That's their problem. They have no hope. But some people grieve without any hope. Their loved ones die and they don't know what's going on. They grieve without hope. Christians, when you have someone die, you have hope. Because if you had fellowship with them in Christ Jesus and you knew that they knew the Lord, there is an aspect of celebration there. Like Pastor Joe said yesterday, yeah, we grieve, we miss them. But there's an aspect of celebration when you know someone is in the presence of the Lord. We live like Steve was reading earlier. He described from John Piper what kind of life this is here, this cesspool that we live in here. Those who go on, they don't have any of that. Matter of fact, I don't think they even see any of that. Who would want to see the earth when they've got the glory of the Lord before them? And our lives should be that way. Our blessed hope is to see Jesus, to see him as he is. Right now we live in faith. Not one of us has seen Jesus. If you say you do, come and see me afterwards. We'll have a long discussion. You have not seen the Lord other than what he has taught about himself. Our blessed hope is to see him again, because who is he? You'll see in these scriptures that it says God and it says Jesus returning to get us. Wow, both are mentioned. And then you say, well, where's the Holy Spirit? Guess where the Holy Spirit is? He's right here, right now. He resides inside every Christian. So at the snatching of the church, all three persons of the Godhead are involved in it. As a matter of fact, it won't say it in this text, but the angels are involved in it too. Maybe next week we'll make more mention of that. But sleeping. And next week we'll look at a different kind of sleep. This week we're looking at sleep as being death, going through the grave. Next week we're looking at sleeping as the way you live. Live nonchalantly, like, no big deal. And he deals with that kind of sleep. So don't get confused next week when I talk about sleep, because it's going to be a different sleep. Today it's death, the grave. If we believe, verse 14, that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. Okay, there we've got God, and then we have Jesus. All right? Both the Father and the Son are involved in this coming to get us. Anyone know what the word cemetery means? from the original language, cemetery, that we get from it means a sleeping place. Okay, nice. Resting. You see on tombstones, a lot of people used to say, rest in peace. R.I.P., big deal. Well, there is no such thing as soul sleep. We've already mentioned that. When you die, body in the grave, it's called sleeping, even though it's rotting, it turns to dust. The spirit, soul, goes to be immediately in the presence of our Lord in glorious rapture, wonder. He is making sure these Thessalonians know that all those who have died, who are in the grave, will go to be with the Lord. There's no, hierarchy here. People that are alive when he comes are special status, and we don't know what the status is of people that died. No, equal. We're together. He's going to bring us together. He's going to bring them through Jesus. Oh, that blessed name, Jesus. I hope that every one of us, you, we, when we look forward to heaven, our overwhelming desire is to know God, to know Jesus, and to actually see the Holy Spirit. All that other stuff that we give people hope about the future, that should pale in comparison to our hope and our desire to see our Lord. You know, I've said on a number of occasions, not out of the pulpit, but in studies and such, that, people sometimes say, well, what do they want to see or do when they first get to heaven? And you hear different things. For me, personally, I want to see the operation of the Godhead in the three persons, one God in operation. Here on this earth, we can't quite understand that. And the people who try to explain it often get into false doctrine. They mess it up. I can't wait to see how that operates in heaven. To see the face of the Father, to see the face of my Lord and Savior Jesus, and to see the Holy Spirit and how they interact together gloriously. Wow. That's what I want to see. All the other stuff, if it happens, that's nice too. But that's what I want to see. Sorry, Gina. I love the Lord more, but I love you greatly. Okay? You're cool. For we say this to you by what? By the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Okay, Thessalonians, you got it. Now, you sure about all this? You cool? Well, I love that statement, the word of the Lord. Now, if one of you comes to me and says, this is the word of the Lord, I have a word of the Lord for you. Again, we're going to go into a side room and we're going to have a long discussion. Paul could say that. He was a commissioned apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was faced by the Lord himself on earth. Even after he had been translated into heaven, he came to earth and showed himself to Paul in the bright, blinding light and commissioned him as an apostle. Told him, you're going to suffer for my sake. And boy, he did. He suffered greatly. Everywhere he went with the gospel, he got bruises. Matter of fact, one time they tried to kill him. They stoned him to death. No one knows whether he actually died and came back to life or whether he just was not quite dead yet. Don't go there. It doesn't matter. It was a wonderful miracle of the Lord. The Lord sustained him through all those huge sufferings. We can suffer persecution in this world. Matter of fact, the Lord tells us that we will suffer persecution. If you live righteously in this sewer that we live in, you will be persecuted in one way or another. And as time goes on, some of us could die for our faith if things continue to cycle down to the day of the Lord. 4, verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Wow. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Three times he's reassured these Thessalonians that the ones who have died will precede first. Now, there's not centuries involved in between. It's, remember, the twinkling of an eye. You know, first, the dead rise, their bodies get glorified, and they meet their souls with the Lord. Immediately following, all of us who are alive at the time, these mortal bodies are changed into the immortal or into the imperishable, that we will live in the presence of God forever and be reunited with us, and will our spirits, which are already in us, will be glorified as well with our bodies. Well, how do I say this? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. The scriptures actually teach us which angel is going to make that shout. Anyone realize that? That's in Daniel. Where is it in Daniel? That should be the one in the Old Testament here. Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2 says, in the prophetical section of the scripture, "Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake." Sound a little familiar? "These to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." Synonymous with the no hope that we talked about earlier. If you are hearing my voice and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not submitted yourself to him, you have no hope. There's no hope for you, only doom. And out of love, I and you have got to speak to others about that malady, that danger. Daniel was talking about rescued. We are rescued from this vile, evil world, but also we are rescued from the penalty of our sin because of the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed on our behalf. But those who don't believe that have no hope whatsoever. It's a terrible, terrible future for those who do not know the Lord. That should give you motivation out of great love to preach the gospel to everyone you meet who will listen. Not everyone's going to come to know the Lord. Live with it. But some will. Let's get it together. Let's do it. The voice of the archangel, Michael, will shout. And it's going to wake people up. Everyone awake now? The other kind of awake? Yeah. I promised one person that I would at least do that, to keep them awake because they were up all night. I fulfilled my promise. I didn't bang on the pulpit like I promised, though. Maybe later. "He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." The shout is the archangel, Michael. "And with the trumpet of God." Now, those of you who study prophecy understand that at the last time, the trumpet will sound. The last thing that happens is the sound of the trumpet, and then things are over. Christians go to be with the Lord, and the flaming fire angels come down, and they just wipe out this earth. It's gone. The damned go to their judgment. The blessed go to their bema seat, the reward seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment for the damned, and the bema seat for the glorious ones of God, those who have followed Jesus Christ. Two different judgments at the same time. No separation in time. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then, we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now, we talked about hope in Jesus. And we see all these things we see about being gathered to him gives us hope. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed, or blessed, gloriously blessed. We have a blessed hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow. Let's just stay in that verse for the rest of our time. No, we can't do that. But you see how it fits with what Paul was teaching. Peter's, you know, right in tune with him. All these words, his great mercy, his blessing, his causing, the living hope. And why do we have a living hope? Because it's through, not the cross. The cross did its wonderful work. But what is our blessed hope? His resurrection from the dead and his ascension to the Father is a precursor to what's going to happen to us. We will rise and ascend unto the Father as well. Jesus did it. He promised that we are going to do it too. Oh yes, we give great glory to the cross and his work on our behalf. Without his blood, we have no hope. But our happy hope, our blessed hope is our ascension to be with him forever. That should motivate us on a daily basis to mortify sin in the flesh, to love our brethren, and to win the world to Jesus Christ. Motivation. One of, you know, Brother Moses will tell you, in the Marine Corps, we sang motivation songs. And it kept us fired up. The sailors and the Air Force and the Army wondered, what is so crazy about these Marines? Well, we drank the Kool-Aid. We sang and lived motivation. Stay with it. The tenets of the Marine Corps excel still more in them. And some say, once a Marine, always a Marine. One of our previous pastors said, you are a real Marine. I guess because I was strong. I don't know, whatever it was. But in our Christian lives, we should sing motivation songs to live rightly for the Lord. Wow, were you blessed by what we sang today? The last two songs I was having a hard time singing because I was kind of throating up with tears. I was in rapture. I was hoping that I wouldn't cry when I got up here. I better quit talking about it or I might. We'll get out of Peter before I get past our 11:15 moments. We who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we always be with the Lord. Now, this remain to the Thessalonians was, you people who, right now who are worried about those who are in the grave, you know, you remain, you're going to go too. They go first, and in the twinkling of an eye, you go too. Okay? They gave them that confidence. But from understanding the scriptures and the prophetical scriptures, we know that there won't be very many live Christians remaining on the earth when the Lord returns. Because just before that, Satan is released to do whatever he wants on the earth. No more restraining. The one who restrains him right now so that we can get the gospel out will no longer be restrained. And he will empower the Antichrist to do horrible things to the church. The church, they will try to stamp it out. Matter of fact, one place in the book of Revelation, in its seven visions, teaches that when they kill all of these Christians, represented by the two witnesses, they have a big party. They celebrate. Oh, they're all dead. We don't have to put up with these gospel talkers anymore. They're gone. Then all of a sudden the two witnesses rise. Meaning the church rises. They're not all dead. God saves some more. And these pesky gospel preachers are back. And then shortly after that, the Lord returns. Yeah, we who remain, whether it be right now or in the sleep of the grave, we are going to be reunited with our Lord, who we've learned about for so long. And there were times when people, when they saw this in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, kind of thought we were going to stay in the clouds. We're going to float on our own separate cloud with a harp and a halo. Where did they get that? If they got that from this, they were sadly mistaken. No, the Lord, when he ascended, told his disciples, you see how I'm leaving. I'm going to come back in the same way. When he left, he ascended into the clouds and disappeared. He's going to come back the same way. But when he went up alone and quietly. But when he comes back through those clouds, it's not going to be quiet. It'll be the shout of the archangel and the blast of the trumpet. And all will be ended. Ended for the doomed, a new beginning for the blessed saved. I hope you look forward to that. And that every day you're reminding yourself of your blessed hope for the future. And that motivates you to live a pure and holy life and be the prophets among, not the prophetical prophet, but prophets in that you are prophesying to people the truth of God's word that they need to be saved. Do it in love, do it quietly, do it without being a busybody, and do it while you continue to work your jobs until he returns. Therefore, let me see if I got any more verses for you. Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7, I'm not going to read it, but it's the comfort verses. You know, those of you who have been comforted in the past now have a ministry to comfort others in their need. Okay? Yeah, the Holy Spirit is the comforter, but the comforter teaches you how to comfort. And so, as you love one another, you need to have a ministry of comforting, because we live in a rotten world that hurts us, and things happen to us, all kinds of things. We need to always have love relationships among the brethren so that you can comfort them. You can spot when they need comfort and comfort them. You can spot when they have a financial need and you can help them with it. If you don't have love relationships, all you do is come to church and you have a directory, that's not enough to really minister to people. You need to love people, get to know them, mix it up and get not just one click, but a whole bunch of them. And change it from being click to being the church, the brethren, the brothers and sisters in love. But he ends this passage with, therefore. Well, what is he ending there for? Comfort one another with these words. We got two one another's here, don't we? We had a one another in the beginning of our teaching about loving one another. And now we have a comfort one another. It combines all that we've said today together. To love one another is to comfort one another, to encourage one another with these words. All the things that are true of the scriptures, use them to comfort one another. And that gives glory to our Lord. Beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, love, comfort, and courage. May we remember these words and live by them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these words today challenge us. May we truly seek your face. May we desire to be in your presence forever. May we live lives that are worthy of the upward call of Christ upon our lives, to mortify sin in the flesh, to love our brethren, our brothers, and our sisters. Help us to excel still more in everything that we do, that the Scriptures teach us to do. May we see the commands of the Lord as precious, more precious than silver or gold. May it be sweeter in our mouth than the honeycomb. Oh, may your word infuse our lives with great love and great attention, great obedience unto you. May we submit to the indwelling Holy Spirit daily. God in us. The Father and the Son are with us. The Spirit is in us. God is right here. Thank you for living in us, O God. May we not squelch. May we not grieve the Holy Spirit. But may we submit fully every day to your glory and look forward to the physical change in us, to have bodies like unto the example of our Lord and Savior. Because right now in heaven, he's not just the Son of God. He's the Son of man as well. Fully God, fully man. What a wonder we're going to be like him. Help us to be motivated. Sing songs of motivation about that blessed hope that we have. Glory be unto your holy name, O God.